Can you hear me well enough? It's pretty quiet right here. Okay. Okay, well, let's start out with a word of prayer, and then we'll go from there, okay? Lord, you're such a good, good Father. We just love you so, and we just thank you for who you are, because you say you're the way, the truth, and the life, Lord. And we just thank you so much that you're everything we need, that you are the great I am. And we just praise your name and give you all the glory and honor for this day and for this, the things that are going to be happening in this meeting today. I just thank you, Lord, for the things we're going to be learning, and we just thank you that you make a way for us in our everyday life. I just praise your name, and thank you for the speaker today. Thank you for what she's going to be bringing. And I thank you, Lord, for ears to hear and hearts that are open to what you have for us. And again, we just praise your name in Jesus' name. Amen. On your table, there's the wonderful list of the vision and the mission and the prophecy, and I want us to go over this every time because it's very important that we keep this in our forefront and our in front of us. So the vision, and y'all can repeat it with me, is 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all with unveiled face, continually seeing as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and progressively being transformed into his image from one degree of glory to even more glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And the mission? Our mission is to take a group of people and disciple them intensely in the Word of God, teaching them uncommon faith and help them stand in life. Very good. And then our prophecy. 2020 will be a year of great change, wonderful and magnificent changes in the kingdom of God in the earth, changes that will come because of insights, ideas, and concepts directly from Jesus in his church by his mighty Spirit, glorious concepts of how his laws work, the laws governing increase and financial prosperity, the laws of the Spirit that release miracles and divine healings and manifestations of his almighty power on the earth. New concepts of his love, his very person, for he is love. Insights into the true power and strength of his joy. Okay. Do we have any first-timers here? Yay! Can you tell us your name? Sarah Grace, glad to have you today. Thank you very much for being here. This is great. A few things for announcements. Don't forget Thrive tonight at 7. I think Iva is going to be speaking tonight, if I'm correct. Okay. And then on Saturdays at 9 o'clock, Pastor Brian takes groups out to do community outreach. And if you've never done that before, that is a really neat opportunity to witness to other people. So you might keep that in mind if that's something that the Lord wants you to do. The other thing is on March the 15th, we have Mark and Trina Hankins coming, which is an awesome thing. So those are pretty much the announcements. Diane, are you there? For gift bags, Diane. I see her coming.
Seven one three.
Yay.
Seven, two, three.
Oh, that's me.
Yay, yay.
Seven, one, nine.
All right. I do want you to look at the color of the bags and the colors of the they're on the table. Obviously it's St. Patrick's Day that we're kind of celebrating because this meeting falls before St. Patrick's Day, and we don't want to do it afterwards. So anyway, that's kind of where we are with that. Okay, a reminder to sign up for refreshments and for doing the offering. So it's back here in the foyer.
Credenza,
whatever you want to call that thing over there. So anyway, if that is something that you believe the Lord is asking you to do, it's over there to sign up. I asked the Lord today what he would like for me to share with you guys, and the verse that came that he said was John 14:6, which is that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And when I was pondering this verse, because there's a lot to this verse, and this is just the first part of the verse, but you know, I thought, well, the way, that's our going out and our coming in. It's also being in him in the things that we do. And when we stay in him, he's our covering. You know, he protects us, and he gives us the way. He gives us our purpose in life. And of course, when you have your purpose, he provides for you. And when he provides for you, you have prosperity when you're in him. So there's a lot to the way. There's probably a lot more to it than just that. But going back into the truth, what lies do we believe? You know, what are we considering ourselves stupid and dumb? Are we taking things the wrong way? You know, do we agree with Satan's accusations? Do we wallow in self-pity? That's a good one. Do we allow fear, doubt, and unbelief to rule? You know, there are a lot of things that that we believe that are not of the Lord. And, you know, to know the truth sets us free. So the truth comes from Scripture and by hearing what the Spirit says within us. So that's what we need to be focusing on every day, as to what he says to us. And being faithful to read the Word. You know, we just need to read it more. And then life. The Lord gives life in dead places. You know, he brings life. And it might be in the spirit, whether it's like in salvation, or it might be like for eternal life, or it might be for identity. You know, who are you? Who do you see yourself as? Ask the Lord how he sees you. You're going to be amazed what he has to say. Because it is not what a lot of times what we see ourselves or what we think ourselves. When we have God's identity, he also gives us hope. And hope brings us into showing us our vision, again, our purpose, and promotion. You know, promotion is life. It's progression. You know, it's progression. So also, he restores in dry places, and that is huge. It's whether it's in healing our bodies, or whether it's our marriages, whether it's parenting, relationships, our businesses. So I'm sure there are other areas, many more areas, but those I just wanted to top, make you start thinking a little bit about different ways that the Lord ministers within this scripture, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. So, okay. Next, I think we have Jennifer coming up for offering today. So,
you're welcome. Thank you for that message. Today we're going to John 3:16, and I'll be reading it to you from the Amplified Version. I'm going to set my timer here. Praise you, Father. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you for your word that's going forth in more ways than one. And I thank you for all those that are giving your word and that we receive it. We receive it. We thank you for revelation knowledge. And we thank you, Father, for the working knowledge of wisdom and how to activate these things into our lives so that we grow up and we develop into the radiant women that we're supposed to be. And we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, giving, the last time I shared with you, shared with you about how giving is a living act. It is a holy act of worship, and it is a giving of ourselves. And this holy act is when amazing things are taking place when we give. It opens up a whole new avenue for God to have an avenue to bless us, and it's through the avenue of giving. Today, I want to talk about creating the environment for our seed. And environment makes the difference. It's the seed needs to be quality seed, and the environment that it grows in needs to be of quality so that it produces a healthy harvest. And it's the quality of the seed and environment that we create for our seed that determines the quality of not only when it was sown, but as it grows, and it brings about a quality harvest, you know, 30, 60, 100-fold. We thank you, Lord, for the abundant harvest, right? And, you know, just to give an example, two people can give the same amount in the same good ground, and yet the harvest can be different. And one of the things that I'd like to suggest to you is that could it be that not to put anyone down because they're not seeing the harvest yet, because there's different things, okay? Different things that, but one of them I thought I wanted to share that is love. Our seed is to be love-wrapped, and it's to be an act of worship and be given joyfully. Whenever we give joyfully, we bring God what? We bring Him pleasure. It pleases Him when we're joyful givers. So it's giving from the heart, and it's giving with 100%. And now I want to show you an example of giving 100%. And we all know this, John 3:16. And I'm going to read it from the Amplified. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world. I love that. He greatly loved and He dearly prized the seed He was sowing. And that's what I wanted to grab a hold of, that we're to love and prize, honor the seed, not disdain it. Oh, it's only a few dollars, or oh, it's here. And disdain it can even be, oh, I'm giving $1 million. Either way it goes, we can disdain it. We don't want to do that. We want to always give good quality seed, honoring Him with whatever the amount is. And the amount, the value is not face value. The value is the quality of the seed, how it's sown. Okay. And so this is important, why it's important to love wrap our seed. And what thoughts and things are we thinking and speaking over our seed? What are we releasing as we sow and as our seed even grows? That environment is our responsibility. The environment that we create with our words and our thoughts, our attitudes toward our seed, determines the quality of the seed and the nourishment for that seed. The seed depends on us for its strength, its nourishment, for it to grow and produce. watering of the word, shining the word, and the fertilizer when we receive revelation knowledge of, oh, wow, and we just gave it some fertilizer so that it can grow. And that suggests to you that there's connection between our spirit and soul and the seed. Even though it physically leaves our hands, there is still connection there. And it's a continuous connection. It does not stop. Our responsibilities do not stop. And we're to release love and joy and faith. The connection provides the nourishment it needs to grow and develop. So let's create an environment for our seed to grow in and produce healthy produce. Amen. And so today we have we can do this. And so you have envelopes on the table to where you can put cash or checks. You can also text the amount to 36609. And you can also give online, emic.org/give. And Father, I want to thank you for your word today. And I thank you that as we sow our seed, that we honor you with it. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise. Hallelujah. Amen. And we'll give a few minutes for the offering. Let's see. Thank you, Micaiah. Well, I went over 19 seconds. I'm learning and to value time. And speaking of that, I'm going to introduce to you, and most of you probably, if not all of you, already know her, is Kelsey. And Kelsey Sturm. She's been with EMIC for almost 7 years. And during this time, she has worked in all age demographics of student ministries. And currently, she and her husband are commanders. She's a co-commander of Super Kid Academy. She's married to Blake, and they have a beautiful son. Please welcome Kelsey.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be with you guys this morning. I was sharing with Jennifer, it's a little bit different. I'm used to being dressed up in some sort of costume maybe, or maybe the potential of getting eggs smashed on my head. So this is a little bit different vibe. I'm kind of excited about this a little bit. I did think about wearing a costume, but I was like, no, I'll leave it at home today. But I hope you don't mind today. I just want to share something the Lord has been kind of imprinted on my heart for a long time, and I'm glad Jennifer kind of started talking about our spirit and our soul, because that's something that so intrigues me about how we are created, that we are a spirit who has a soul and lives in a body. And it's been within the last few years that the Lord's really helped me understand that more. I highly, highly recommend, if you have not read Andrew Womack's book, I think it's Spirit, Soul, Body. I knew I was going to get those out of order. I highly recommend it. We have it in the bookstore. It helped me so much understand who we are. Yeah, thank you. Who we are and how we access who we are. You know, because our spirit looks exactly like Jesus. But I don't feel exactly like Jesus on some days. Let's be honest, most days. Yeah. And so it intrigues me because Pastor Andrew, Brother Andrew, however, yeah. Andrew Womack goes into the fact that we have to use faith to access what is in our spirit and bring it into our physical body. And that means we have to make sure our soul's in good shape. The soul is the valve between getting what's in our spirit into the physical, into our physical world. And man, that just, it was just like poof. Like whether that's fireworks or, you know, light bulb moment, however that works for you. It just was such a revelation to me and helped me so much, not just in studying the word, but in studying who I am and who I'm created to be. And so I'm going to read a little bit from the Passion Translation today. And I apologize, I'm going to have to do it from my phone. Praise the Lord. When you forget that Bible that you wrote, this is the one I use all the time because I say it's fun colors for the kids, but I want to read from the Passion Translation today. I want to start in 3 John 1 in verse 2. It's a Bible study this morning, so I hope you're ready to work out your Bible a little bit with me. It says, "Beloved friend, I pray that you are prospering in every way and that you continually enjoy good health just as your soul is prospering." And that idea of soul prospering just grabs hold of me. You know, we talk about prospering in you know, the physical realm, in our finances, you know, in our health, mostly focusing on the physical. But if we don't get that soul prospering right, we can't pull what's in our spirit into the physical. And so I want to talk about our soul prospering a little bit today. Let me just open my book here. And there's been a story about Jesus that, have you ever been in those seasons where the Lord just continues to bring up a certain scripture constantly? Like, you think, okay, we're moved past this. The Lord's going to start showing me something new. And he's like, hey, no, go back to this story. There's some more revelation there for you. And that story for me has been in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And it's funny because I'm the kind of person that always, the Lord tends to help me minister from where I'm at. And so this has been something I've constantly been talking to people about. Like, hey, have you thought about this scripture? Have you thought about this story of Jesus? Have you thought about this from this story? And it's been so true in our team lately. We've seen such the goodness of the Lord in Super Kid Academy, and the enemy hates it. The enemy hates it, and he has been attacking our team this year. So please keep the Super Kid team in your prayers, but we know it's because we're on the right track. Yes. You know, the enemy doesn't try and stop those that are not threatening, but the whole Super Kid team is threatening because we're doing some amazing things for the kingdom of God. And so just keep us in your prayers, but we know we have the victory. Amen. And it just makes me laugh because, like, oh, devil, you thought you could stop us by throwing some sickness at us or throwing some physical ailments or some family stuff. No, devil. So Mark chapter 4 and verse 35 says, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. That's interesting to me. We kind of missed that a little bit. The man was not, they were not alone. Like, there were other boats following behind them. Like, Jesus couldn't get a moment of peace. He couldn't get a moment of quiet. God bless him. I'd be like, you know, it's for me, like, after the week of convention, whether, you know, I've done 1440 and Super Kids, the week after convention, I just want to sit in a quiet room by myself. I don't want to talk to anybody. I just want to be quiet. And it's such a victory. Anyway, I relate that feeling to how Jesus might have been feeling in this moment. But it said, but soon a severe storm came up. In the Passion Translation, it says a ferocious storm. And I just love the use of that word, ferocious storm. This crazy storm happens. High waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." And suddenly the waves stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And the disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the wind and the waves obey him. There was a storm going on, like a heavy storm. Like, I feel like we don't quite, this is one of the things I love about studying like Greek and Hebrew. They're such picture languages. And so when you dive into some of these words in Greek or Hebrew, it paints this picture of what's happening. English doesn't do that. And it's somewhat disappointing. But the tempest, I think Rick Renner's dived into this scripture a few times about what was really going on. Like, this is a massive storm, like, so strong that, like, the disciples thought they were going to die, is how storm, like, this isn't just a little Texas rain. This was hurricane level, like, we're not seeing the end of this kind of thing. And yet Jesus is sleeping. Can we just, Jesus is sleeping. This boat is rocking all over the place. It's raining. I have a feeling there probably wasn't much cover on the boat. So Jesus is probably getting wet, like you mentioned. Yeah. And he's asleep. Let's just take a second. Jesus was at such peace about what God had sent him to do, what God had called him to do, that no matter what was going on around him, he knew what he was supposed to do. And because of that, he was asleep in the boat. I don't know about you, but I need that peace. Because, I mean, I'm not in a rocky boat with a huge storm going on around me, but sometimes it feels like that. I tell you, 2020 has been a year for our family where it's only March, and I'm like, it's only March, Lord? It's been one of those years. Few months. Let's not even go with the year. Few weeks even, of this just rocking and storm. And the Lord keeps bringing me back to this. Jesus slept because he, one, is the Prince of Peace, but he had such a peace because he knew what God had called him to do, the Father. It says in, in John 16, if you'll turn there. Actually, I'm going to read it in the Passion. John chapter 16 and verse 33. In the Passion, it says, it's funny, you think you get there faster when you're using technology, but no, that's not always true. Actually, I want to start in 31. Let's just get the context of what Jesus is saying. It says, Jesus replied, "Now you finally believe in me, and the time has come when you will all be scattered, and each one of you will go your own way, leaving me alone." He's, you know, foreshadowing what's to come when he's about to be crucified. "Yet I am never alone, for the Father is always with me." And this is the verse I want to camp on. "And everything I've taught you is so that the peace which is in me will be in you and will give you great confidence as you rest in me. For in this unbelieving world, you will experience trouble and sorrows, but you must be courageous, for I have conquered the world." He says the same peace on the inside of him would be on the inside of us. Our spirits look exactly like Jesus, but why is it so hard to get it from our spirit into our physical? How do we get that peace that Jesus had sleeping in that boat on the inside of us? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I want to look at a scripture over in Philippians, and this is the one I kind of want to dig into and dissect today, because I think this is one of those keys that we get that peace from our spirit into our physical, through our soul. Philippians chapter 4. And I love this because this is a scripture that we all know. I've read this scripture so many times. And honestly, I'm stealing a little bit of material from my husband because I had never heard this scripture preached the way that he had done it a couple years ago when we were still in middle school, as the middle school pastors. He had done some study on this scripture. And again, I've read this scripture so many times, but I did not understand the context of what Paul was saying here at all. It's so important when we're studying the word that we do some of these studies and find out who he was talking to, what was going on at the time, because it so completes our understanding of what he's trying to say in this moment. And first of all, Paul is in prison. Let's just set that up first. Paul is in prison in Philippians, and prison ain't prison like we know it today. This man was probably this high in sewage. Mm-hmm. Also, when I say sewage, probably dead bodies, because they didn't pull people out when they died in prison. They left them there. It's dark. He's probably chained to a wall as well. So, like, and not like the good old chain where I can walk around. No, like, he is on the wall. And he's probably been that way for some time. It's dark. It's like death is everywhere. Like when you would go into a prison in Roman times, you weren't coming out.
That's right.
You weren't coming out. Literally, even after you died, you weren't coming out. It would wash. I think, and Kathy might help me a little bit here. The sewage like went out into, like it was the main sewage point. So like they would wash dead bodies, wash on out, like, and again, some of them were chained to the wall. So some of them probably weren't washing away. You got rats everywhere, gnawing on prisoners that are still alive. Like this is not good. This is not good. But yet he's taking time to write to this church. And it's funny because in light of what we find out the church was writing to him about, we're like, really? You're writing to Paul about this? Do you know where this man is? Like, can you just figure it out? Like, come on. You know, come on, people. Like, let's get it together here. This man is literally in prison, and this is what we're choosing to write him about. He's taking his time to write to us about this. It just kind of makes me laugh a little bit. But let's dive into this and find out what he was responding to. In verse 2, and I am probably going to butcher their names. Please forgive me. I did take some Hebrew in school, not any Greek. Did not help me with pronunciations of names in the Bible. So, bear with me. It says, now I appeal to Euodia and Syntyche. Please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. And I ask you, my true partner, to help these women, for they worked hard with me in telling others the good news. They worked along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are written in the book of life. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, and right, and pure, lovely, and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and praiseworthy. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. I think it's interesting when we read scriptures a lot of times, we break it up in our mind based on the headings in the scriptures or even in paragraph. He was literally talking about these women. This whole passage that I just read, he's addressing this conflict between these two women.
Not uncommon.
No, it's not. But again, I go back to what I said before. This man was literally standing in sewage in a prison. He hadn't seen daylight in forever, and they're writing to him about a fight between two women. Come on. Really? But here Paul is, and he's giving them instructions about how to deal with each other. And peace comes up. You know, we pull that scripture out in verse 6 through 7 about don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. He's literally addressing this conflict between these two women. Great verse, but he's literally addressing this conflict. He's saying in response to this conflict that these two women are having, pray about it, but don't worry about it. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace. And I want to look this up in the Passion because, again, the wording, I'm a word person. I love the word and I love the expounding on it. In verse 6 in the Passion, it says, don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer through each day, offering your faith filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. See, we're starting to get that picture, you know? Tell him every detail of your life. Then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answers known to you through Jesus Christ. So keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, faithful and kind, and fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising Him always. That peace. I did look up the word peace used in this scripture, both in Greek and in Hebrew. And in the Greek, it gives this picture of wholeness, completeness. All the essential parts are together. Remember, we're talking about a conflict, a disagreement. And the peace he's talking about gives this picture of all the parts of the body working together. In Hebrew, shalom, it's the word used. I just love this. I wish we went around, instead of saying hello to people, shalom. Because you're literally wishing them security and safety, prosperity and joy, because of peace and harmony that keep and make things safe. It's prosperous. It's a tranquility in the soul that is unaffected by the outward circumstances or pressure. Shalom, the peace that the Jews literally go around and say shalom to you, is peace that produces prosperity in our souls. That's what we're seeking, is the peace that produces prosperity in our souls and opens it up from what to have the peace of Jesus that we already have in our born-again spirits and get it into our everyday life. Shalom. Wholeness. Completeness. Lacking nothing. That's the word that's being used here for peace. So much bigger than this. Right? For real. Again, the English language has let us down in that sense. But he's literally talking about peace. The same peace that Jesus had in the boat, he's talking about between these two women. And I want to show you something. This is the part that so shook me in how I read this scripture. So in verse 8, this is again another well-known scripture that we know. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thought. Fix your thought on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. There's no separation right here from then the fact that he is dealing with a conflict between these two ladies. So the word pure right here actually is associated with another word in Colossians 1:4. And in Colossians 1:4, Paul is saying, "For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all of God's people." Or in other translations, it uses the word saint. So this word pure in Philippians 4 is the same word used for saints in Colossians 1:4. And when you look up in Greek again what the word saints, what the word pure means, they both come from the same Greek root word that means holy and sacred. And it's used for a person. So here in this list where we're like, okay, I'm going to fix my thoughts on what is true and honorable, pure, right, lovely, admirable. Paul is literally saying, fix your thoughts on the sacred things in each other. He's not just saying, think about these nice things. He's saying, think about these things when it comes in accordance with each other. Think about what's sacred on the inside of her. Think what's sacred and pure on the inside of this person. And that's how we handle conflict in the kingdom of God. We remember that we're all holy, set apart saints. And we think, even if the only thing I can think of in that moment is, she's got Jesus on the inside of her. If that's the only thing, that's enough. And so if we want to have the peace of God on the inside of us, we want to open that valve between the peace in our spirits and bring it into, we have to live like this with each other. That's right. We have to live like this with each other. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Make it known before God. And then treat each other as sacred. Despite our disagreements, despite the things we may not enjoy about each other, that's how we get the peace of God in our lives, is by, one, being in unity with each other and creating peace. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, it talks about how when we make peace with each other, that's how we know that we are children of God. When we are at peace with each other, when we walk in peace with each other, that is a mark that we are the children of God. Mm. The only other place, and I have not studied all this, so please don't, there might be more, but the only other place I know where it talks about the mark of being a child of God is loving each other.
Yes.
Well, being at peace with each other is certainly loving each other. Man, I love Rick Renner's study on 1 Corinthians 13. Again, that's what opened my eyes to the fact that English does not do it justice. Love is patient. Love is kind. That is not even close to what they're saying. The picture that he's painting here of how we're called to love each other and how we're called to walk in peace with each other. Because I believe those two things are so hand in hand. Those things are so hand in hand. The patience you need to walk in peace with each other. Let me make sure. It's been a while since I've really looked at it, but I think when he says patience, it's like a long wicked candle that just keeps burning and burning. It doesn't go out. When love comes against conflict, it tries harder. It doesn't give up. I don't know about you, but our culture gives up so easy. How many times have we in our vocabulary been like, you know what, I'm done with that person.
Yeah,
I'm done. I'm going to love them from a distance.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to keep them out here. That's not what love does. That's not what love does. That's not how we keep the peace with each other. That's not how we walk in peace in our personal lives. We do it when we love each other this way. I love this too in studying the word shalom. Again, I would love just to be inundated with like Jewish culture because it's so different than ours. You know, we're such a me-centered culture.
That's right.
Let's be honest. We are. Western culture is very me-centered and it infiltrates the church, you know? It's about me and what I need and I need to get fed. Right? Am I being fed? Do I like this worship music? Do I like the color of these chairs? These chairs are so uncomfortable. I'm going to have to go somewhere else. That is nowhere near Jewish thought. Now, again, I'm saying this, you know, secondhand. I've never been to Israel. One day, hopefully. But they are so others focused. That's why they're working on a cure for the coronavirus right now. And they're pretty close to it. Like, what other country is working that hard to help, you know? but they have such a others focus. So this, when they say shalom to someone, the idea of shalom is for someone else. It's for someone else. Shalom to you. Wholeness and completeness to you. I don't know about you, but even in reading and studying that, I tend to think of myself a little bit more.
Oh.
I think of, you know, peace to me. Yeah, I need peace. Shalom. Yeah, I'm more of the, oh, yeah, I receive that for me. But am I willing to give it to others? Am I willing to bless others with that peace? Is my thought first love others? Because if you look at love and the agape love of God, it is all about others. It is not about you one bit. Lord, just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, empty us of ourselves. Help us to be others focused. To be others minded. Lord, let us see others the way you see them. To see them as sacred. And set apart as called of you, Lord. Lord, help us to prosper so we can help others to prosper. Lord, help our souls to prosper so we can help other souls prosper. So we can speak life into others, Lord. So we can speak peace into others. Speak wholeness into others. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we take that by faith. We take it by faith in you, Lord. We take it by faith in all the things you did for us on that cross, Lord. All the things you gave us when you died and rose again. Lord, we take those by faith. Lord, we are done with the excuses. We want to live like you on this earth. Lord, we want to be the body of Christ on this earth. Lord, we want to love others like you love them. Lord, we want to bring peace to the storms going on around us. Wholeness. Oh, Lord, there's so many broken around us. Lord, we want to bring the wholeness you've given us, Lord, and we want to give it away unselfishly. There's more than enough. There is more than enough. Lord, we are here. Change us. Transform us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ishtovo momo steve besteke. Inerebeste nekeste. We thank you, Jesus. Ishtovo momo steve deke. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise Lord. I think it's something that we continue to work on for the rest of our time here on the earth. And we continue to work on it in heaven. He continues to perfect us. He continues to draw us near. And thank the Lord, it'll be so much easier when we get there. But we're on this journey together as women of God, women of faith. We are on this journey together. Thank you all for letting me share with you this morning. I appreciate you. Short and sweet. I'm used to 20-minute messages with the kids, so, you know.
Well, we want to definitely thank Miss Kelsey for her energy and enthusiasm this morning. We thank you so much for that and the message she brought. And I know for myself, definitely what stood out for me, especially in the times that we're living in now where everything is in an upheaval and there's not a whole lot of peace. But as the body of Christ, I think that what we're forgetting is that the peace has to start within us first. And we're trying to inject ourselves in other people's lives and situations when we haven't settled that peace factor for ourselves. So it's going to be a lot easier to bring peace to situations and circumstances when we're first ourselves at peace. So thank you for that reminder, Miss Kelsey. Is there anything else anybody else want to say? Okay.
So go ahead and find somebody else first.
Anybody else? Miss Sue?
Well, thank you for bringing your wisdom to us. That was so good. And I just wanted to let you know that through Andrew Womack Ministries, he does have a downloadable or DVD on that. For kids, or well, it's for grown-ups too, but it's a stick figure showing that spirit, soul, and body. So have you seen that? Okay, because, yeah, that's good. Okay, just want to make sure.
Anyone else?
Miss Brenda?
Yes, to you, Kelsey, I just thank you. I love your spirit. It just brings just the joy of the Lord to me as I think, not even knowing you, just seeing you, but I appreciate the gift that's inside of you. And as you spoke, the Lord reminded me of that's, you know, what he has been even just showing me, the scriptures that you even was bringing out. And just how so much more important, I just get it even more so about this is about others, focusing on others, you know what I'm saying? And I love that. Again, it's just confirmation, just seeing others as valuable. That's how we get it. You know? So I appreciate that. It was powerful. And it doesn't have to be long to be strong. You know, you can go on into it and just get it done. Amen.
Okay. So I looked up the Greek word for peace. And first of all, it's Irene, E-I-R-E-N-E. And it's very similar to the Hebrew word shalom. It means totality, completeness, success, fulfillment, wholeness, harmony, security, and well-being. But it also, in Greek, holds a connotation of a cornucopia and a flowing river. But it's not, it is the name of a goddess in Greek culture, but she was supposed to be the one that provided food at the harvest. She was part of the sowing and reaping. But it just occurred to me, you know, when we think of peace, we often just think of, oh, that little lovely feeling, you know, that we got when you prayed. It filled the room while you were praying. But we also need to remember that peace is not just that feeling. It is the fullness of everything that you need being complete, not just being wanting. Because if you're hungry physically and have no food, it's hard to be at peace. So we have to look at, like you said, in the Jewish culture and in a lot of the Eastern cultures, that it's more about other people. So you have to look at, is this person that I'm talking to, are they able to be at peace, and do I have the means to fulfill the peace for them? And that was, while you were talking, that just kept, the stuff was bubbling up inside of me, and I just kept saying, well, why is this so important? I mean, besides the fact that peace, it says in the Bible that peace is our umpire, that it let peace be your umpire. And if you understand that peace, and that translation's the same word as what it is in Philippians, that it is the making sure that somebody else is fulfilled, that changes that tone. Because we always think of let peace be my umpire as far as how am I gonna be led. And if you think about it, we mostly think about how am I, the I is the important part there. But if you let peace be your umpire in that connotation, how can I bless, how is this going to bless somebody else? How is this going to help somebody else? So that's what I got. Anybody else?
Sorry.
That's okay. Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to say something? Okay. Thank you. Okay. Oh, yes. Thank you. Well, Kelsey, we have something for you. We appreciate the message. It was awesome. And yeah, I am.
So, perfect.
So again,
thank you.
You have this.
We just got rid of all the balloons for my son's birthday, so I love that. His birthday
there you
was
go.
January, by the way. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. We really appreciate that message.
Oh, yes.
That was awesome.
And now Miss Kelsey and I will be up here. If there's anyone that wants prayer or anything, we'll be up here for a few minutes after. And other than that, you all can continue to fellowship. We have refreshments in the back. And again, thank you everyone who came today.